Hello and welcome to Effective Prayer and Effective Action with Jim Collier. And we're going to get right into today's program. I have a lot of ground to cover. If you need to contact us, you can contact us at Pray for Our Cities, or just PFOC for short. P.O. Box 1755, Harrisburg, PA 17105-1755. If you need to call us, you can call us at area code 717-238-5621. If you want to email us, put the program in the subject line, and you can email us at PenalCFI. That's P as in Paul, E-N-I-E-L, C-F-I, all one word, at AOL. That's AOL.com. Well, I can't seem to get away from establishing communities, so I want to do a part three. Establishing communities. And so we'll do a part three. We may even do a part four. I don't know, but we'll do a part three. Been talking about the whole dynamic of planting churches or starting churches, how churches start. And we're not trying to be technical or anything like that, but what I want to talk about is the heart of what it means to be a congregation, to establish a congregation of believers who are sharing the journey together. So when I say establishing communities, I'm talking about planting churches, just using different language, because, you know, you can plan an organization, but yet it still not have life. So we're talking more in terms of life-giving and life-experiencing congregations. Once again, let's just be real clear on the fact that God is building his church. God is doing it. Let me read Romans 14:1. New Living Translation. Accept Christians who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. And that's a mouthful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, just let your will be done today on this program and in the lives of all of us, those who hear, those who experience this program, those who are sharing the journey. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to come from Romans, the 14th and 15th chapter, from the Message, and make a couple comments, and that's pretty much going to be it. But as I was reading over this, I thought, you know, this is really what it's all about. In Romans 14, in the Message, it says cultivating good relationships. And it starts out saying, Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Now, think about it for a moment. That would pretty much be most, if not all, believers who initially get saved. So it's talking about clearly congregations where people are becoming believers, those who are getting saved. And so you have to have a welcoming and I would add affirming community where people can be brought into the kingdom and come to know God and see how God moves in the lives of people in that community. So welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And you and I know that could be a challenge, but we're called to do it. Eugene Peterson in the Message goes on, he says, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. In other words, don't come on too strong. You know, love them and don't come on too strong. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, it says in the Message, but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with, so treat them gently. They have their own history to deal with, and those of us who are called to treat them gently have our own history to deal with. I think about it sometimes, you know, the reason why most of us are where we are today in terms of knowing God and loving Jesus is because others show forth his glory. They show forth the love of God in our lives, And we saw Jesus with skin on. And that's how it became very real to us. verse 2 says, for instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. Now, let me just make a little comment on that right there. One of the things that we do in our congregation is that we have a community meal. Every Wednesday we're sharing a meal together. Those who come out to what we call share and care, which is a small group. Some people use the term cell. It's in the home, and so we share a meal together, and everything put out, before those who come, not everybody eats the same thing. But just because some people don't eat the same thing does not mean that we who can eat anything should get on them. Now, the reason why I bring that up about what we do is because I know that the community meal, the common meal, is not a practice that is happening in many congregations on a regular basis. Let me encourage you. This seemed to be something that they did in the early church, and I find that a real good fellowship occurs around the common meal. Man, let me tell you, some of the most effective ministry, prayer, revelation, and things take place around a table. I mean, try it sometime. Get a couple Christians together and just sit around the kitchen table. Sit around the kitchen or the dining room table. Just sit around the table and open up your Bibles and just pray and read. Begin to read a passage of scripture and just take the time. If someone has a question, a comment, you'll find that the Holy Spirit will move in that type of environment. And it's deep. I mean, it's really rich. Also, when you share a meal together, there's going to be laughter and fellowship. And, you know, and I'm talking about kind of like two different things here, but still, there's something powerful about getting together with other believers in a relaxed atmosphere. But Eugene Peterson talks about how some people might be vegetarians and they eat accordingly, but love them anyway. Verse 3, but since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. So we shouldn't get into this whole criticism because of what one person does and the other person doesn't do. Verse 4, do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Oh, man. Wow. For some reason, I think bossy, you know. Trying to be bossy. You know, God will deliver us from that. Some of us, our personality is just the type of personality where we tend to be bossy. Hey, you know, get over it, you know. God has not called us to be the boss over each other. We are called to share community. We are called to walk together in this. Even in leadership, leaders in the body of Christ are not called to be bosses. We are called to be servants. Man, I could say more on that, but verse 5. Or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. So we go from the whole dynamic of dietary considerations or what one person chooses to eat and another person chooses not to eat. Then he goes on, Paul goes on to talk about different days. Or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons either way. So in other words, consider the fact that there could be good reasons either way. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. It really seems like we're getting into issues of like peer pressure, that's a good thing. Because see, if a person comes into our community, a person gets saved, or let's just say a person comes who's already saved and they come into our community, But instead of being welcoming, we proceed to let them know that real clearly that this is the way we are, and you got to line up, you know, if you're going to be with us. We don't even let the person hardly get past the threshold of the door before we're already putting things down on them, you know. And seems like Paul is talking about that here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience, the convictions of conscience. You see, the Holy Spirit will move upon our conscience. If we will allow the space for the Lord to move in people's lives, we will find that he will move in people's lives. We don't want to fall into the habit of trying to be the Holy Spirit. Many of us parents have found that out in terms of raising our children. You know, you have rules and different things at your home, and your home has to function a certain way. But there usually comes a time in the child's life where you realize you have to back off just a little bit after they get older and allow the Lord to touch them in certain areas. And so your role moves more over into one of prayer and just moving with them in that way. Verse 6, what's important in all this is that if you keep a holy day, I'm back to talking about the holy day, keep it for God's sake. So in other words, if you choose to have some kind of a restriction or some kind of a practice in your life, make sure you're doing it on purpose. Make sure you're doing it because God is leading you to do it. Don't just do it because everybody else does it. Have a reason why you do things. Then he goes back over to the dietary restriction. He says, if you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. Now, I know it doesn't say that in your Bible, but in the message, Eugene Peterson puts that in there about prime rib. It says, if you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. Listen, none of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. And I think that's a good verse there. You know, we are not permitted. We are not called to force things down other people's throats, especially in areas where it's not related to any kind of sin. I mean, it's not sin to be a vegetarian. It's not sin to do these things. It's not sin if you want to set aside a day and that day is holy to you. That's not sin. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to. So each person has got to live before God in purpose under the influence of their own conscience, knowing that everything we do, everything we are, everything we say is done in the presence of a holy God. It's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Jim, what about personal accountability? Well, stick with me on this here. You'll see it answers it right here. I don't believe he's saying that there is no accountability, but what he's saying is that ultimately the one that we're going to have to face and deal with is God. Verse 9. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. You ever think about the fact that, the spiritual realm is very real? The Bible says God is spirit. And, spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm, to tell you the truth. I mean, the physical realm comes up out of the spiritual. You say, well, how can you say that, Pastor Jim? Well, listen, the Bible says God is spirit, and so in the beginning, God. So before there was physical, there was spiritual. There was spirit. There was God. And so we need to be aware of the fact that God overrides all this. Okay. And so we need to know how things operate. I like to get a picture like the pressure, like God giving pressure on a person in the area of their conscience. Now, if a person continuously turns their back on God, the Bible talks about a conscience being seared, or basically you become dull in the area of your conscience. But God will move upon a person's conscience. God built that in as a capacity in human beings. Verse 10. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly, or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. So see, ultimate accountability being to God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Read it for yourself in Scripture. In other words, God doesn't get caught up in all that mess. God is the God of purpose, and when we learn to flow with Him, we learn to be people of purpose. We learn to be kingdom citizens and kingdom people. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. Oops. Here we go. God is God all by himself. Needs no help from us to be God. God is God all by himself. Recently, I've been studying a little bit in terms of what are the distinguishing characteristics when you see people who are false prophets. I move into prophetic, and I'm in the middle of a process of working on a training seminar in the area of the prophetic. And I've been looking at some of the distinguishing characteristics, false prophets and people who get over into error, or maybe they start out in error. But one of the distinguishing things is that same old lie that Satan told Eve, you know, ye from the tree, you'll be as God. And so people who get over in the error, and if you follow false prophets and you follow it and its movement, what you'll find is that it'll lead right back over into the same error, to where the person is not content on just being created by God. They got to be God. That's one of the root things. If you follow it, you'll see it real clearly. See, that's a lot of the things in the new age, you know, not content on just being created by God, being created in God's image, the top of his creation, man. I mean, wow, that's wonderful, right? No, somehow you got to be God. And that's where the error comes. That's where the error comes. Recently, I was reading something, and the person was talking about how, basically, they talked about how there is this divine web that overrides, that is around everything. But here's where the error came. They talked about how millions and millions of years ago there was a big bang, and somehow out of that big bang, this divine web was released. In other words, God was created out of the big bang. I mean, come on, please. My goodness. But see, then when people talk about the Big Bang, then they say, well, what started the Big Bang? Well, listen, no matter how much foolishness you get into thinking that you are so smart, you're still going to come to the place to where you're going to have to say, I don't know. And that brings you back to God. Eugene Peterson, after he says that every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God, verse 12, he says, so tend to your knitting. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. You know, you can say tend to your knitting, or tend to your whatever, you know what I mean? Tend to working around your house, tend to your own issues and your own needs. You got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. You don't have to try to be God. You don't have to try to be God. I like the way that the one brother, John Paul Jackson, in Needless Casualties of War, he talks about, and I'm not endorsing that book or anything. Some of what he says in there, I agree with. Some of what he says in there, I don't agree with. I mean, there's a couple things in there, quite a few. But that's all right. See, that's what we're talking about here today. That's all right. It's okay. I just don't see it that way. I mean, it's okay. I mean, if I was before, I'm sure he would say, hey, that's okay. I don't think he'd try to force it down my throat. But one of the things he talks about is that, you know, a lot of what people get into in terms of principalities and powers and wondering and trying to deal with spiritual beings that that are really in another realm, and trying to wage warfare against them and attack them and different things like that. He warns people about that and says, don't get open to that area. You just focus in on Earth. You know, we've been given dominion on the Earth. And so, and I agree totally. If we just focus in on our purpose and what God has called us to do, and we just obey him, man, listen, let the Holy Spirit lead you into what to fight or how to fight or what to do. That's the best way to go. Believe me, don't speculate. So verse 13, forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. In other words, you know, listen, we all have our own issues to deal with. And listen, when people are coming out of the world, let's put it back to the area of getting saved. Man, they really got some issues to deal with, right? Some people have never really been fully discipled into being a real strong follower after Jesus Christ. And so if the issues aren't dealt with, many times they'll go underground. That's what happens many times in churches. People will come out of addictive backgrounds or come out of a dysfunctional backgrounds. They'll come out of backgrounds where they didn't live really normal lives. And so they'll come into a culture maybe where they may see people living, quote, normal lives, getting up, going to work, taking care of their children, paying their bills. And they might they'll try to fall into the mold. But then because these issues have never been dealt with, this stuff surfaces, and next thing you know, they're dealing with the same issues they dealt with before they were saved. So people already have issues to deal with, and people need to have ministry and need to have people walking alongside of them. Don't give them added weight by dealing with superficial things. And I'll use the term superficial. They really are not that important. See, the most important thing is that we come to know the Lord and we come to love him and allow him to move in our lives. So don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I think we all can say life is difficult. Verse 14, I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. So it's all holy. I love the scenario. This is how I see it, and we're going to pray, and we'll pick back up on the next program. I love the scenario to where, you know, the bush is burning, and God speaks out of the bush and says, Moses, take your shoes off the ground, that you're standing on this holy ground. And in my mind, I think of it this way, right? You know, like Moses, you got a revelation right now. Yeah, this bush is burning, but creation really is burning. If you can see, if you can get your eyes open here, you might as well take your shoes off, because all this ground is holy. It's all holy. I'm God. I'm right. I'm here. Even though you can't see me most of, I'm here. Now I got this bush burning right now, so you can recognize my presence. Take your shoes off. Recognize me. Honor me. Love me. See, this is where our problem comes many times, because we don't recognize the presence of God. I love what Brother Lawrence said. And practicing the presence of God, he said he learned that God was with him when he was washing pots. He learned that God was with him when he was working in the garden. God was with him all the time. And this is a revelation that we have to have and have to get. Well, let's pray. And it looks like we'll have an establishing community part 4 coming up. So it's turned like into a series. I don't think it'll go past 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15 says, if you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, and it's just using eating, but it could be anything there, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. That's what we should remember. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? Verse 16, don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soul poisoning. Thank you, Lord. And right now you could think of other issues and other things that might come in there. Do we have to deal with things in the Christian community? I mean, yeah, Paul had to deal with things. There was a guy who was fooling around with his father's wife. And that had to be dealt with. It was an open shame. It had to be dealt with, man. And it was a serious issue, but it was dealt with. There are things that have to be dealt with. We do it in love. Paul did that in love because, at one point he said about turning them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But then another point he said, welcome this brother back. Welcome this person back. You don't want to do too much in this now. You know, it's time to welcome him back in now. He's repented. Let him back in now and love him, you know, so that this damage and this stuff that's been done in his life can be healed. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, we don't know. We don't know how to do all this. Lord, you've given us an instruction book, but more than that, Lord, you've given us your spirit. And so, Lord, help us to be spirit-attuned people. Help us to be those, Lord God, who would listen to our conscience, those of us who would flow and move in you, those of us who would be aware of your working in us and through us. Lord, you're continuously working in us both to will and to do. You're working in us so that we can work it out. You're working in us so we can work it out. And so, Father God, help us to be citizens of the kingdom. Those, Lord God, who recognize that you are king. You are king. We're called to be a nation of kings and priests, but you're the great king. You're the biggie. You're the one. And help us, Lord, to properly relate to you. Keep us away from error. Help us to be content just knowing that we are created by you, Lord God, and we don't have to try to be you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on now with this program here now. Let's just get into God's presence as we close out this program. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy to be praised, worthy to be honored, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy. Father God, we confess before you and before all creation that we cannot make it without you. But Lord, you have called us to be one with you. Help us to learn how to live out the reality of that oneness. Teach us and show us and guide us how to effectively abide in Christ and have Christ abide in us. Lord, and as you show us and guide us and direct us how to effectively live in abiding and resting and depending upon you, Lord, out of that effective flow, keep us from foolishness. Keep us from all the superficial things that really don't matter. Keep us from running down rabbit holes and taking paths that are not the straight path. Bring us to a place that where we learn to agree on what we can agree. Bring us to a place, Lord God, that we learn how to function as an army, as people who are called to work together and move together and war together. Oh, man, Father God. Lord, we love you. We love you. And we know that you love us. You love us so much, Lord, that makes sense. It goes beyond natural comprehension. Why you would love us the way that you do love us, but you do. Let there be a revelation of your love, Lord God, that would overwhelm us and sweep through our hearts and sweep over our souls, Father God. A revelation of your love to where we love you so much, Father God. We keep our focus upon you, and it keeps us away from sin and error and all the things that would try to dissipate and take away from our lives and keep us from fulfilling our purpose. Father God, we just want to give you that praise and honor and glory again today. Those listening to this program, Lord, release a blessing. You, Lord, you cause your rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Let your rain fall today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.